top. It is me, George G. We've got another great episode of the Aligned Money Show coming up, featuring my friend, Mr. Frank Ricas. He is financial advisor with Plutus Financial Partners. Had a great conversation about the evolution of marketing and sales in the financial industry. We talked about the importance of setting a strong financial foundation, how procrastination keeps us from moving towards the things that are really most important to us. How do we do that? How do we bring it all together in a time where we are inundated and drowning in information, looking for wisdom and good relationships and just moving ahead in a positive direction when it comes to money? So I know you are going to love it. Let's go. Frank, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie.
Okay. Let's see. I was involved in a protest in my younger days. I coached an adult women's baseball team. And when I was 19 years old, I tried out for a Major League Baseball team.
Those are excellent. You've got some great word choices to try to throw me off the scent a little bit, Frank. I bet the protest one is a lie.
No, it's true.
All right. Which so, one? Go ahead.
When I was in sixth grade, I went to a public school in Chicago, and there was a threat that they were going to eliminate gym class, extracurricular sports, library. You know, there was always a shortage of something back in those days. So a bunch of people at my school said, all right, we're going to organize a protest, and everybody's going downtown, and we're going to walk downtown, which is like 15 miles from the school. So a bunch of people started walking. I was included, and it ended up being the three guys that we stuck together. And before we made it downtown, we're like, all right, enough, let's go home. And I get to my house, and my dad's car is there, and it's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, what is he doing here?
Yeah,
he
should weird.
Be out. Oh, what's going on? So yeah, that was the truth.
All right. So did you get to keep gym class?
Yeah, everything stayed.
Yes.
Oddly enough. Yeah.
All
gym
right.
class, sports, nothing got changed.
So was it the adult women's baseball team? Was it you trying out?
The lie is, yeah, I did not try out for a baseball team.
Okay. All right.
And the reason I have my career in financial services and before is because I couldn't hit a curveball. So
there you go. What seemed like a terrible thing at the time turned out to be a wonderful blessing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've made it work.
Had you tried out for a baseball team, what team would it have been?
I would have loved to have tried out for the Baltimore Orioles. I always dreamed of taking over third base for Brooks Robinson, which would have been probably one of the worst things you could have done, because he's probably one of the greatest third basemen to ever play. So it would have been a heck of a lot of pressure.
Yeah, but I appreciate that too. All right, I love it. Well, great job. You got me, Frank. What is top of mind for you right now?
I would like to, I guess, discuss how marketing and sales has really changed in financial services over the years. I've been doing it for a long time, and things have changed dramatically. And if you're a financial advisor and you haven't adapted to, whether it's technology, process, the way that you're doing business, or if your financial advisor hasn't adapted to the way to do business now, you're going to get left behind. And I've seen some people struggle with, you know, things the way they are, and I've seen people adapt, you know, very, very well. I think I've adapted pretty well. I mean, I always have room for improvement. You know, I'm always looking to do that, but things have changed over the years. And, you know, I've been accused of, and you've been in our industry, George, so you know, so I've been accused a couple times by people saying that, you know, you don't like to close. No, I don't. It just feels very uncomfortable. I don't like it when people close me. So my answer is that I I take the theme of what my business coach says is I invite people to say yes.
I like it.
Yeah,
And there probably are plenty of people that are very comfortable putting people in a tough situation and actually closing them. So I appreciate that. Has that always been the case for you?
I guess in the early days, you're taught to, see X amount of people. If you see X amount of people a week, you're going to get through, 10 appointments, see three people, one is going to be a client, the old 10-3-1 thing, and show up with all your tools and your bells and whistles, and everybody needs to buy one of these. And my joke now is not everybody needs the Plotnik 3000. I mean, it's not doesn't fit everybody's mold. And I don't know when it really changed for me, but it's been a while. And I think the problem with some advisors who struggle with either being successful or have some sort of momentum is that they don't have enough people to see. So the three or four people that they see every week, oh, I gotta sell George something. So let me bring him this, let me show it to him, and we'll make it work. And it's very old school. It might work for some people, so I'm not judging anybody out there who it does work for, but for me and for the people that we work with, it doesn't fit. It
I
doesn't
think
fit.
that makes a lot of sense. If I have a very small number of potential clients, I must turn some of these into clients. Therefore, I will. But if I don't, I'm out of the business.
I mean, you got to eat, okay. But the old you eat what you kill. Well, I that's really that's old school, and I think the prospect or your client, can feel it, and you don't want to do a review, and every time you do a review, well, hey George, it's time for you to buy this because you don't have this, right? And even if someone comes to me and says, Frank, I need X, that's fine. We may get there, but I want to learn, how did you come up with that? What made you decide that you needed that? Let's kind of talk about, your whole situation. And if X turns out to be something that you need, we'll do it. But I need to know what's behind it.
I think that that's a sign of certainly maturity and wisdom. Somebody comes to you and says, "I want to buy A," and you say, "I hear you. Tell me a little bit about tell me why it is that you're interested in buying A first before I just take your order and sell you the thing."
Yeah, I'm not about transactional. And I know a lot of people who, oh, okay, great. They whip out an application or they start on the computer and they're ready to go. And like, you're not really doing the right thing for the client. Yes, it might be what they want, no doubt about it. But I think you need to do a little homework. You need to build a little bit of a relationship, because otherwise it's just on to the next person.
Maybe this will sort of take us into the evolution of marketing in the industry as well, because with the internet, obviously I can search whatever I want and then make a determination. So if I were to search, let's just make up something that the Plotnik 3000, I think that was the term that you used earlier. And you'll see that half of America thinks the Plotnik 3000 is crap, and the other half thinks it's the best thing in the world. And so I come to Frank, I said, "You know what? I heard the Plotnik 3000 is the best thing in the world. I want to buy one of those." So we don't know where people are coming from, where they're getting information. And I don't know if that does sort of dovetail into how we need to do a better job of marketing ourselves and then helping people to invite them to become a client or to buy.
Well, I think sometimes you can have information overload, and no offense to anybody, but there's all different sources, there's all different outlets of where people can get their information from, CNBC, the news, Fox, whatever that you're listening to, online platforms, different things you can read, your neighbor, your cousin's brothers, uncles, whoever. You have to talk to someone when it's related to financial products who's actually in the business, who actually knows what it is that they're doing. Because we invariably will have conversations with clients. We'll say, yeah, I read yesterday about this, or somebody was telling me about that. Okay, well, they don't quite have all the facts, or that's great, but it doesn't necessarily pertain to you and your situation. So there is a lot of information out there that, wasn't there, when I first started, way back when, when I was 4 years old. But there's things have certainly changed over the years, and now people have a lot more information at their fingertips. Could be good. It could also cause mass confusion, which
I
then
feel like,
develops the procrastination.
right, we've been drowning in information and starving for wisdom.
Oh, yeah.
So when I started writing in again, I got into the world of blogging just to sort of educate myself, and I realized, oh wow, so many of these blogs are written by professional writers who have maybe no subject matter expertise or experience. They just know how to write a blog about something. So it's fascinating, and I'm making a judgment about that. I think that somebody who is immersed in the field is better suited to help counsel on what might be a good fit versus somebody who's just a professional writer. So buyer beware.
Right, exactly. I mean, you're not going to go to an orthopedic surgeon to have heart surgery.
Right. And then we now live in this wonderful digital age where we can do Facebook ads, and I have funnels, and I can automate these things. And so now it's just my marketing is taken care of, and I can just set it and forget it, and I'm just going to get rich. I don't know if that's been your experience or what you're talking about by changing the way we think about marketing.
Well, I think changing the way about marketing relates to how you actually approach people. For me, I'm a big LinkedIn user. I've always been on LinkedIn, but I haven't been as intentional as I've been, like I've been for the last, I guess, 6 months. Whereas before, I would post occasionally. I would use, company created material that's already been approved. And then I decided that, I want to be different. I want to express myself, my own voice, my own expertise, show a little bit about me personally, show, some fun stuff that I do or have done. And I just kind of try and mix it up. So for me, my marketing, well, that's one of the avenues that I've done marketing with. We're not at the firm I'm at, we're not allowed to use some of the other tools like, Instagram and X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. And there's other people who do cold calling, and that may work for some. I did have to do that when I was first starting in the business, especially after I moved to South Florida, and not knowing anybody. I did a lot of cold calling, because we didn't have back then, there wasn't LinkedIn. There wasn't, I'm aging myself, but there wasn't the tools, the internet that we have today's, smartphones didn't exist. We barely had email, so I didn't have much of a choice. Also, networking events, which I think are a great way to connect with people, right? But you don't want to be the guy or gal that walks into a networking event and you collect 25 cards and then you start calling all 25 people. You have to build a relationship. My usual, I'll say routine, if that's the word, is if I do go to a networking event and I don't know anybody, is to talk to two or three people, have a decent conversation with two or three people, and see where it goes from there. I'm not a, I don't need to work the entire room, So I think that's changed quite a bit for people. And you just have to be personable, ask a lot of questions. It's always about, Hi, George, tell me about you. What do you do? How long you been here? What do you like to do? Those kind of things. Try to find out about you personally. And I hardly ever bring up what I do unless you ask me, and I keep it as short as possible because this isn't really the place for us to talk about it. You want to talk more? I'm happy to meet you for a cup of coffee, next week or the week after. So I think things have changed in that respect. And I think it's another great way to build a good, pipeline of people that not only your potential clients, but also our resources. You know, as a financial advisor, you need to have resources of people, estate planning attorney, CPA, business attorney, mortgage broker, realtor. So I try to surround myself with a lot of those types of professionals, and often will create those scenarios in my meetings with my clients to refer to those people. And then it becomes a back and forth kind of situation.
I think that that makes a lot of sense, and I feel like it's probably a more comfortable way to do it for everyone. How do you think about allocating time to that? Because we obviously have a finite amount of time. So if I'm going to agree to have a coffee with somebody just to sort of get to know them and discover and develop this relationship, that's an investment of time and of your attention and your resources. How do you think about that? Because we can't do that with everybody.
I think if it's the right person, if you're local, right? So if you're in the area that I live in and we can meet for a cup of coffee, I love coffee. Obviously, you and I are both drinking one right now, so
I love
that's how I
coffee.
start my day. There's a great cafe right across the street from the office. There's a couple others that I know because I love coffee cafes. I'm fine doing something 8 o'clock in the morning, 8:30 in the morning. Let's get to know each other and do that. If you're out of the area, you're in another city, you're in another state. Yeah, let's do a virtual coffee. Let's jump on a Zoom call for 30 minutes. And a lot of times, what's happening is those 30 minutes are not enough. You're like, oh my gosh, we're done. We got to have another one of these. And when that happens, you have some synergy with the other person or with each other, and then you're able to kind of build on that relationship so it doesn't feel like it's, oh, I got to reach out to George to stay top of mind. I hope he accepts my meeting. If things are going well and you're having good conversation, then yeah, you're both going to be eager and willing, to do it. So I think it's important. I mean, I try to have at least 2 a week in person. If I can have another 2 virtual, that's great. And I mean, I just allot the time for it. I just kind of know my schedule. I know when I want to do it, and I know if I can do it. And sometimes, it works out for the week. Sometimes it doesn't, and then we just, find a time where we can do it. But I think it's important to have.
It strikes me that you have, from my perspective, my perception is that you have a very defined kind of client that you work with and serve. How long did it take you to come to that desired client profile?
Oof. We work primarily with attorneys, so law firm owners, partners, associates, as well as entrepreneurial business owners. The business owner thing was kind of always there, but the law firm just kind of developed, I'm going to say overnight, a few years ago, and just started meeting more of them. One of my very best clients, I'm not going to say their name, I'm not going to say where they live, but met them at a bar association event. Totally had no idea who they were. I'm there with my business partner, and we're like, okay, where do we sit? Oh, well, she says, let's go sit with them. They look like they're a pretty nice group of people. And we did. And we spent the next 3 hours just talking it up, getting to know them. Ended up running into one of the partners at lunch a few weeks later, started seeing each other and started doing work together. And now, probably one of our best friends, have a great relationship and have grown with other attorneys from the group of people that they know and that we know. So it just kind of has developed. And I've also been focused more on that with my LinkedIn material, with my LinkedIn connections. I'm not saying I know how a lawyer thinks and how a lawyer, I'm not saying I'm that good or that in tune, but I think after working with several of them or quite a few of them, we know what we're looking for. Successful attorney, could be a solo practitioner, cares about their family, cares about themselves, cares about their firm, cares about their client, and wants to do not only good work for their client, but also wants to do good work for them and their family. And I think the key word there is care. And just kind of developing those relationships even more.
I appreciate that. And I imagine that you have developed a really, a probably pretty deep understanding. I don't know how individual human beings think, but I do understand, and you are now able to understand better what is of importance to an attorney in a law firm and the different challenges that they have from insurance and a human resource, just everything. You, when you get to know an industry and the people that work in that industry, you're going to learn more about it. You're going to be a better advisor to them, and it's going to help you in every other aspect. So it just makes sense that you would endeavor to have a more defined client and then understand what that client needs, wants, all that good stuff.
And it used to bother me, George, when I first started working with them, when I would either show them a proposal or show them a plan or give them an idea, they always, all right, let me think about it. And it used to take a while for them to come up with their answer. And until I finally woke up and realized, well, you guys went to school, and one of the things that you did a lot was research and you read. Once I was able to be comfortable with that, then I was able to take not only the pressure off myself, but the pressure off of them. And I can appreciate it and I understand it, a lot better, which I think that helps with the synergy between the two people. You have to know the personality of the person that you're dealing with. Not all of them are like that. And I think as you develop more with your client, less and less of that happens. But sometimes, they want to know that, all right, I might like Frank. I think I can trust Frank, but do I have the confidence in Frank to have him or his partner, Rania, get done what we need to have done?
Yeah. And when we talk about it, it's pretty obvious, but we don't think and consider. I wonder how Frank likes to process information. I wonder if he likes to watch a video or listen, or if he wants to actually pour through some kind of academic research on the topic. And so when you have a better understanding of the industry and kind of a profile, you could say, "Hey, Frank, I know a lot of folks in your line of work really enjoy actually seeing data or like to see graph, whatever." Is that how you like to process information as well? And so just understanding expectations and inviting people to really inviting them into the process.
Yeah, funny that you say that, because oftentimes we'll say, so George, do you want all the details? Do you want the 50-page plan? Do you want me to narrow it down? How do you want me to communicate with you? Do you want a phone call? Do you want an email? What's the best way to communicate with you? So when you ask those questions, not only I think it shows that you're paying attention, but it shows that you have some interest in how they operate, which I think, again, creates a little more synergy than the next person.
Yeah, I love it. Well, Frank, we're ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for us?
Make this the year that you get your financial house in order. Procrastination is a terrible, terrible thing. And, growing up for me, money was tight. I came from a divorced family, and it's not that we were poor. We were okay, but there was no plan, and I didn't really know it till I got older and looked back on the struggles that both my mom and dad went through. And I don't want people to go through that. My mom, if she had $25 on her, she'd rather give you 20, keep five for coffee and breakfast for herself rather than take that 20 and put it away. She had a heart of gold, but in the end, it's that kind of had us in financial struggle. So, be open-minded about your planning. We believe to start with the foundation, and that's really where you got to start, which involves the insurance products, because if we don't start there, then your financial plan, as Nick Murray says, is built on sand. So make this the year that you put it together. Reach out to your advisor. If you don't know an advisor, find an advisor. I can probably recommend one that you might want to talk to. But it's important because situations happen. And I think COVID taught us that things happen that are completely out of our control. Not that we expect another COVID to happen, but you never know what's coming around the corner, and you want to make sure And of course, adjust it along the way. But if I can give any tip, it's, stop waiting.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets it. Come on. Frank, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, George, for having me.
I wrote down that having a heart of gold is great, but also having gold is also a good thing. So a little bit of
Like
both.
that. That's great. You got to send that to me.
For sure, for sure. Well, again, thanks for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you?
So I'm on LinkedIn at Frank Rekus. I'm there every day. I post at 8:19 every morning. You can reach me at 561-961-9312. I have a website. It's called Plutus Financial Partners. And you can also email me at frank.rekus@myplutusfinancial.com.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Frank your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Find him on LinkedIn, where he posts every morning at the specific time. You say 8:15, Frank?
8:19.
8:19. Why 8:19?
19 is my favorite number. Represents a couple of my favorite athletes. Just a number that I've always loved, and it allows me to participate, engage a little bit before the post goes live, and then engage a little bit after the post goes live. So it's kind of worked out my schedule to be that way. I could have made
Love
it 8:15, but the 15 doesn't mean anything to me.
it. I think it's great. Whatever works, man. Perfect. Find Frank again on LinkedIn. Go to PlutusFinancialPartners.com. Check out the great resources there and give him a call. Shoot him an email and go from there. Thanks again, Frank.
Okay, thanks, George.
Finally, a friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you. So act accordingly. In certain states, Frank Rekus offers securities through Equitable Advisors, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, which is Equitable Financial Advisors in Tennessee, offers investment advisory products and services through Equitable Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor, and offers annuity and insurance products through Equitable Network, LLC, or Equitable Network Insurance Agency of California, LLC. Frank's California insurance license is 0D43037.